The Marble Hill Church of God Seventh-day Fellowship presents The Way It Ought to Be, with the good news of the kingdom of God coming to the earth and how you may prepare for it and avoid the calamities just around the corner.
This is Pete Hornbuckle with The Way It Ought to Be program. Well, friends, you know, it isn't too hard to figure out that things aren't the way they ought to be today. But there is a time coming when things will become the way that God intended them to be. And that time isn't too far off. And God is preparing a people now and has been ever since Abel to be qualified to be there to rule, to reign, to teach, to heal, and to train with him for 1,000 years under Jesus Christ and help Jesus Christ to restore all things to this earth as they should be. That's what Christ said in Acts chapter 3. That he will restore all things. God likened his word to a seed that you plant. You expect it to grow and produce fruits. God expects those that he calls and places in his church to grow and produce fruits. That's the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to teach that. And you grow spiritually in becoming like God and Christ. You put on their mind, their attitude, and their character. In Matthew 13, beginning verse 1, Christ spoke a parable here. He didn't explain the parable as he was speaking it, but later on in the chapter, he did. Verse 1 of Matthew 13, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. Verse 2, and great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was hot, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now Christ explains this parable so those that have ears to hear, that they will hear and that they will understand. And those that has ears to hear are those that want to obey God. It's simple, my friend. If you want to obey God, God said in Matthew chapter 5, that if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be filled. And that's whom God is speaking of here, those that have ears to hear, those that want to hear, those that have a heart that you want to obey your Maker. In Matthew 13, beginning in verse 18, Christ began to explain this parable. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Yes, my friends, there's many things out there. You have many obstacles out there against you when you begin to want to obey and begin trying to obey your Maker. And he's speaking of Satan here, the wicked one, snatches away because he fills your mind with something else, anything else but the truth. Continuing here in verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. That's someone that's enthused, that's excited about the truth when he first hears it. And so he starts out trying to live that way. But yet notice what God says here in verse 21. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Yes, when he began to get in trouble, when friends and neighbors and relatives and enemies and Satan began to dangle something else before him, he decided to turn loose. It isn't worth it. It isn't worth obeying God. It's easier to go the way that he was going. Verse 22, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now here's a category of people that understood. They began to bear fruits, but they let the cares of this world, the ways of this world, and riches that present the problem to someone wanting to go God's way, and to someone that doesn't want to be crooked in their dealings to get rich. So that presented the problem to them, and they became unfruitful. Now, verse 23, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. They take the storms of life, this category of people, take the storms of life and continue to grow in grace and knowledge of God and His Word. They know it is the right path, and nothing shakes them out of that path. They understand why they were born, where they're going, and how to get there. They understand the purpose of life. They understand the plan of salvation. They understand that there is a first fruits, that there is a first resurrection, and that if they hang in there and they grow in grace and knowledge and they continue to put on the mind, the attitude, and the character of Jesus Christ in spite of all the obstacles trying to pull them away, they will be resurrected and become the first fruits, will become kings and priests in the kingdom of God, be rulers and teachers and kings and priests, helping God, helping Jesus Christ restore all things and teach the truth to this world. Christ explained this parable because he wants us to understand it is the one that picks up on his word and runs with it and not from it. Now think about that, my friends, the one that runs with it and not from it, as the whole world has done, beginning with Adam and Eve and Cain to this very day. The one that understands there's a lot more than just believing Christ died for your sins and was resurrected, or simply uttering the words, I love the Lord, that will be saved. You know, we don't even understand the resurrection today. Modern Christianity doesn't understand that. They resurrect Christ in a day and a half when Christ said plainly the only sign that he would give that he was the Messiah, that as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the whale, so would he be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. But no, we don't believe that. We go with tradition. We add to the word of Christ, and we take away from the word of Christ. So we resurrect Christ in our mind and our attitude in a day and a half. So we don't even know when Christ was resurrected when we do that. He offers salvation to those who grow in his grace and knowledge and lives by his word. Now, if a plant doesn't produce, it isn't worth much. If those that God calls and reveals his truth to doesn't begin and continue to produce spiritual fruits, God can't use them. God finally cuts them off. But God doesn't get in any hurry to cut it down, to cut anyone off from him as long as he sees a glimmer of hope for them. He gives man every opportunity to turn, to repent, and begin the spiritual growth of obedience to his word and bearing fruit, putting on the mind of Jesus Christ. It's not God's will that anyone perish. 2 Peter 3, verse 1, I want you to notice what Peter has to say here in these few verses. Now, we won't read verse 1 at this time, but later on in this program or on a future program, we will read more of what Peter had to say here. But in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, he says, Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure mind by way of reminder. In other words, Peter is getting the point across in verse 1 that he wants us to be reminded and to remember what Christ taught in the Old Testament, what the prophet taught in the Old Testament, and what the apostles and Christ and the prophets taught in the New Testament. In other words, he's trying to get us to realize that no, the Old Testament has not been done away with, that it is a big part of the foundation of the church, as it tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. Peter in the following verses reminds us of what the prophets taught in the Old Testament, which we will read later in this program or in a future one. But it doesn't sound like the Old Testament has been done away with, and indeed it hasn't. God wants us to know and understand and remember what he inspired the prophets to pen and what Christ penned in the Old Testament as well. Christ wrote the Ten Commandments, which modern Christianity claims have been nailed to the cross. But Christ wrote the Ten Commandments with his own finger. His laws haven't been done away with. He said, Think not that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. that I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. And he lived those commandments to the full, in the letter and in the spirit. Up until that time, they had only been lived in the letter when anyone did keep the commandments. He commands his true church to keep and to live by them and teach them, that is, his commandments. The purpose of the church is to preach and to publish the truth, God's word. Do you know why truth has failed, as God said in Isaiah 59? I ask again, do you know why truth has failed, why God made that statement? Do you know what God meant when he said truth failed? Well, let me tell you why God inspired that to be written as a part of his word. Listen closely. You need, this nation, this world needs to understand why God said truth fails. Now, he didn't mean that his word is no good or that his word needs to be modified by adding to or taken away from his word or by man rewriting his word as it seems we do today in Christianity. Now, here's why God made that statement. Listen closely. He said that because mankind has from the Garden of Eden failed to live by truth. So God is telling us truth has failed to keep man on the right track because man has failed to live by truth, God's word. This world, our nation, and our religious organization, deceived, enticed, persuaded by Satan, have mixed a little truth with lies, pagan false religious practices with traditions of man and call it truth. They call it true and pure religion. We call Sunday the first day of the week, the Lord's Day. We substitute the seventh day for the first day and call it the Sabbath. Have you ever wondered where that came from? It did not come from God. God nowhere in his word calls the first day of the week his Sabbath. He nowhere in his word calls the first day of the week his holy day, except once a year, and that's on Pentecost, which does fall on Sunday. God knows which day is the Sabbath. He was the one who made it, blessed it, made it holy, made it his time, his day and his time, and he commanded man to keep it holy, not the first day of the week, the seventh day of the week. That's only one example of truth failing to keep man in tune with God and his laws and his entire word. The true Sabbath pictures a time of rest from Satan's world. It pictures a time of 1,000 years of Christ's kingdom on earth. It pictures a time of righteousness that will bring peace and rest from the way of Satan. Christ said truth will set you free. The true Church of God teaches the truth. The true Church of God isn't trying to please men. My time is up. We'll break off here. We'll pick this up in our next program. In the meantime, keep listening to the Way It Ought to Be program, and we have a couple of booklets that you should request. What is the real gospel truth? My friend, if you want to live God's way, you need to know, you must know, what the real truth is. And this booklet will explain that to you in more detail than I have to do on the air. And the second booklet, The Church That Jesus Built. You need to know where the right church is, whom it is out there that's teaching what Jesus Christ founded the church on, the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, and Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Yes, the true church is founded on the Word of God, and they teach the Word of God. To order your booklet, just call us, the Marble Hill Church of God, at 573-238-3675, or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com, or order online, www.thewayitoughttobe.org. This is Pete Hornbuckle on behalf of the Marble Hill Church of God. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for listening to Pete Hornbuckle and the Way It Ought to Be program, presented by the faithful members and co-workers of the Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, located on County Road 300, one block north of the Cat Ranch in Marble Hill, meeting Saturday, the Sabbath, at 2 p.m. You can listen to our previously recorded broadcasts or order free literature on our website at www.thewayitoughttobe.org. Or call us at 573-238-3675 or email us at thewayitoughttobe@hotmail.com. Our address is Marble Hill Church of God Seventh Day, Post Office Box 615, Marble Hill, Missouri 63764.